Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Kamala Harris is small, Dan. She projects bigger. She jumped up to kiss John Fetterman on the cheek. Oh my goodness.
She's only 5'4", huh?
You think that's
being generous?
Yeah, being generous. She's got heels, remember? Big time heels.
It first said 6'7", then I realized I was looking at the wrestler Kamala.
Yeah,
and not
yeah.
Kamala Harris.
But jumping up to Fetterman, I mean, he is a big guy. Slightly taller than you, I'd say, or almost, but enormous, you know? It'd be interesting to see that.
Yeah, Fetterman's 6'8".
6'8".
Yeah.
Well, allegedly. You're right there. You're allowed. I mean, I like that 6 inch and a quarter.
Like six,
so you get,
yeah, like 6'7".
You only need a tenth of an inch to be 6'8".
3/4".
Yes. The analysis, the Harris tax plan would cost $20 billion, among other things. We'll talk with our guy on all that economic stuff at 2 o'clock today. But the school shooting, even though they moved past this a bit, just wanted to make this comment. We're trying to get on one of the architects of this. He was stopped yesterday, killed two teachers. It's unclear whether he targeted them and two students, or they were just the targets of opportunity, okay? One was helping students get out, so maybe that's why he did it. They are going to try him as an adult. I would be fine if they give him the death penalty. I'll tell you that clearly, and now I know it'll never happen even in Georgia, but it's time to get serious about this stuff. The parents, rigorous investigation. Did he get the weapon there? Did they keep them locked? The whole thing. And the FBI, again, quote, on the radar screen. They interviewed him last week. Here's the thing. What ought to come out of this, Dan? The one good thing, then I'll tell you the local thing on this. The one good thing that should come out of this is this. If we're serious, and we're not, we ought to go back. I would bring in the FBI. We want to know, and it's not to impugn them. I'm going to tell you, we would bring them in. What happened in this 2023 interview with the father and the kid? He was on the radar screen, online threats. And then the question becomes this. Tell us explicitly in this case what you were unable to do that you would do. And then we'll have to decide, is that something as a society we would give them power to detain this kid and to go further? In other words, rather than just, well, it was on the radar screen, can't do anything, aren't we tired of hearing that? They knew this kid was a problem, or they had a lot of, they knew it. What law restrained them, or what is it that did not allow them to do anything with this? Tell us what that is. Let's get serious. Let's drill down on that. Then we'll have to say, well, you know what? There are certain rights here. They didn't have as much probable cause as we'd like. What else could they have done? Or we'll say, okay, here's what we need to debate. This happens time and time and time again. So I'm not just saying the FBI is incompetent in this. I don't know. I mean, my suspicion is many times they are. But what is it in that interview? We're going to blow past it, though, until the next one that happens. The other part of this is the school resource officer is the one who was armed and got to that part of the building. And when he identified himself and said what was going to happen, the kid gave up. Now, Pennsylvania passed a law in the middle of that budget stuff that every school district, as I understand it, gets a stipend to train a school resource officer and pay them. I think it's $50,000 a year. The school board then decides whether or not that resource officer will be armed. They have to be trained in how to deal with weapons, but the school board then gets to decide whether they'll be armed. Okay, I don't know that most people are aware of that. It was kind of a backdoor thing that happened. Are you aware of it? Have you been asking your school board? They ought to bring it up. They ought to tell the public what they think about this. They should vote on it. They should take a position. As far as I know, that's not happening because apparently there are so many loopholes out there, such difficulty even when we knew this kid was a problem and the family was suspect with the weapons, either we were incompetent or we couldn't, within the law, the FBI couldn't do anything else about it. We need to know these things rather than blowing past it. All right, once we know that, why would the local school board be against an armed resource person? Now, Philadelphia is against it because they're against the Second Amendment. That's the reason there. But how about these suburban school districts? Central Bucks will be against it because they're progressives. But that's where these things are happening. This was another example in Georgia. So the way to deal with this is to take a look at what we're doing when we have some sense of a problem, and almost every time we do. And then two, if we don't stop it at that level, what's our backup, which is a person there that can use deadly fire to take this kid out? All right, 855-839-1210. But again, we blow past it, we get to the next one, and then we go through this cycle all over again. All right, we've got a lot of people on the side question. I'm coming to you, 855-839-1210. Nation, the Nation Online. All right, this is a very progressive outlet. Headline, the dark side of the Democratic Party's embrace of football. The hyper-masculinity and violence of football connects to Kamala Harris's bellicose convention speech. What? It could repel younger voters. So what they're saying is that younger voters, younger than Dan even, like let's say 18 to 25-ish, are going to be repelled.
What world is this person living in?
Yeah, this is the premier, I would say the nation's one, two, or three, the premier
what?
Over the last 50 years, Dan,
what
progressive outlets.
Article.
Yeah, well, I think they believe it. Why are we engaging in that? And I think this is the smartest move that Democrats are making, one of the smartest moves. Boy, some great ones on Twitter were coming to yours, where you have this villain or anti-hero that is more interesting than the good guy.
No, Argus, well, what are you talking about on Twitter? Joy Behar?
Joy Behar,
not
yeah.
Not even an anti-hero, just a villain that nobody wants to like, I feel.
Hey, one little thing in my unceasing campaign, it's on the small stuff. Progressives on the big stuff, Second Amendment, abortion on demand to the ninth month, all those things. But here's an example of how it gets down at the grassroots. And the grassroots right in our area yesterday revolted. Controversial recess changes reversed after upset parents packed school board meeting in Bucks County. The headline is from the Bucks County Courier, Fox 29. A win for parents in Bucks County after their school district suddenly reverses a controversial policy to revamp recess just days after the start of the school year. Quote, my son came home on Thursday. He told me he was stuck on one part of the playground. He couldn't even go to the jungle gym, and he was stuck playing soccer for 30 minutes. Right there, that's an outrage. Maybe the kid hated soccer.
Poor kid.
In other words, apparently, this Warminster, Pennsylvania school district, what they did is, Dan, they instituted, and I've had these people on over the years, these policies in recess where you're only going to play certain games, you're only allowed in a certain part of the recess thing. Rather than recess, is supposed to be a time more of free play. Now, you know, you don't want kids doing what I may have played in recess, like...
Whoa, what'd you play?
You know, there may have been...
How many fights did you get into in school, Dom?
Not that many.
No, you were
but
a peaceful
kid? I do remember hitting my head on an open window in the school and having to go to the hospital.
Wait, how do you hit your head on an open window?
The windows opened out. They had them open even during recess.
Oh, I
time.
See what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, and you run into it. It may have been a concussion there.
Oh,
it may
man.
Explain a lot. Yeah. But you
it
should...
may explain why a couple weeks later you want to be hung upside yeah. down from a basketball.
That's another story. But the idea that you would want to manage what kids are playing at recess is just fraught with difficulty. But one of the things that happens is, well, aren't you going to let this kid play? You know, that's a tough call. You might talk to somebody like a popular kid like Dan Borowski and say, Can't you include little Johnny over here?
You know, when I was student teaching at a school in Indiana, they had a requirement that the kids had to meet on a weekly basis of amount spent on the track doing laps, either just walking or jogging.
During recess?
During recess.
See, this
like,
is
how horrible
of stuff.
Is that? And they get timed for it, and they have to, like, meet a quota?
Now, this is the type of stuff where recess is supposed to be free play, your friends, what you gravitate toward. And the parents struck back, more than 100 parents packed the gym to voice concerns over children were being separated by class, being asked to participate in certain activities, and parents never got a heads up about the change. Good for the school district. They changed it. Really upset me. One father said they were taking freedom away from my child. He should be able to spend 30 minutes of the day to calm down and take a break. Isn't that what recess is all about? The deprived school busing, Dan, you're right. But let me give you another one. DJ found this, and it allows me to rant on about what's so bad about cash. Apparently, there is this huge group taking advantage of what I think are lazy school districts. NJ.com says many people in Jersey are complaining because you can't pay cash, even at the high school level, for school lunch. Everything is done online. And this group, this corporate entity, My School Bucks, it's called, is in so many school districts across the country. The fees that are being charged per week, they say that the conservative estimate is that families pay $42 per school year on average just in fees. Parents with more children who have money to their accounts more frequently might be far higher. Is it worth that a $325 transaction fee on a deposit of $20 or even $50? Imagine that now. So you have to put a deposit down of $20. They're charging you $325 as a transaction fee.
What is this? And ATM at Wawa?
And the thing over in Jersey says these school districts will not accept cash. Now, don't you think at a high school level, kids are able to pay cash they want to? I mean, if you want to pay online and pay all those fees, good luck with that. Do it as a parent. Why can't you pay cash?
So down the line, Dom.
Yeah.
It does, though.
It is. It does. So I thought you said
no. Like, I remember in high school, we had, like, our lunches, there was lines just, you know, 50, 60 people deep, and they had to get through as quickly as possible, so we were given cards, and we would just swipe in it to go to an account, and that's kind of how they, you know, quantified what you got and how you paid for it.
Okay.
And I don't think we had cash either. It was just to kind of move the line along quicker.
Yeah, but again, you got to pay the transaction fee then.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Well, that's what that's what is going to happen.
Right. Reason.
Right. So it should be you can pay cash if you want to. Now, if you have a line that you can pay cash in, I mean, they have cafeteria workers and all. I just think
you're saying like toll booths where you have the cash only line.
Yes, and you have the easy pass. All right, 855-839-1210. If you're a parent over in New Jersey, we'd love to hear or hear. The idea that you can't pay cash, you got to put down deposits, and for some, this could be $50, $60, $100 a year. Why are we paying these corporations that? Now, these are real junk fees. What's Bob Casey doing? Get him in a lunch line. It's greedflation. It's shrinkflation. You ought to be able to pay cash if you want. And if not, you want the convenience of this, you want to do all that, that's how you keep your bills okay. Go right ahead. But then being charged, can you imagine? These are in thousands of schools across the country. Every transaction like that, they're taking in $325, some number like that. That adds up every day. Why are school districts doing that? Or is Dan, I just do it because this whole idea that we're moving toward a cashless society, it's preposterous. I'm not going to tell you it's conspiratorial and government control, but I'm wary of people that think you can get by without cash. You need to have cash. And we need to have cash in so many circumstances. All right, let me go to, let's go to the Earl of Tacony on Talk Radio 1210. Was he a winner yesterday? He was almost a winner. Hey, Earl. Almost good afternoon.
Winner.
Almost a winner. Hi, Earl.
The 2023 Horror of the Year.
What do you have today, Earl? Hi.
I'm back in the rotation.
yes.
Yeah, but now you've really ticked me off. I didn't have anything for you until just now. The quality of the cashiers anymore. I was at a McDonald's a couple months ago, and I went in to ordered at the kiosk, went to the counter, and they said, we only take exact change. I said, I don't have exact change. You're kidding me, right? So I canceled my order. I went home. I got exact change. I came back, paid for the meal, waited an hour. They lost my order, and I had to pull teeth in order to get my money back.
Yeah, I mean, what's the exact change here? I mean, you're in McDonald's.
But here's where it gets really odd. Twice in the last couple of months, I've ordered something at a fast food restaurant, and the cashier says, do you want your change? And it's like, you owe $7. It's like, what do you mean, do I want my change?
Yeah, keep the change.
I'm going to, you know, it's bad enough I'm paying, you know, $15 for a taco, you know, but you're going to keep the $7 in change as well? I mean, no, yes, I want my change back.
Yeah, well, you know, what's the over and under, Dan? Because, Dan, I don't know about you, Earl. I've only worked in a bar restaurant once, and it was packaged goods. Dan, what's the over and under where the server ought to say to you, do you want your change? You know, for the when you pay them.
15%.
Okay. So, I mean, if I give you $80 and it's a $68 bill, let's say it's I give you $80 and it's a $50.
I don't think
bill.
It's ever appropriate for the server to say, would you like your change?
Oh, okay.
I think you just bring back the change and then you allow the customer to say,
right,
keep the change,
yeah.
You know?
Almost everyone says, do you want change?
Yeah, no.
No. All right,
yeah, I mean, I can understand if it's like 2 cents. It's like, you want your 2 pennies? It's like, you know, a lot of people are like, no, you know, because they always end up throwing them on the floor anyway. But, you know, if it's 15 cents, you know, I don't want the extra change in my pocket. I'm going to be weighted down fine. But when it's like, you know, $7, $15, like, yes, I would like my change, please. I mean, I'm making good money, but I'm not making that good of money.
Who's your villain better than the good guy?
It's from the movie Die Hard. I mean, come on, Dom, Booby. It's got to be Hans Gruber.
Better than Bruce Willis's character, yeah?
Well, Bruce Willis is interesting because he's running around and he's shooting people. But, I mean, Hans is just sitting there, and it's like, you know, what's the passcode? Well, I'm not giving you the passcode. You get 3, 2, 1. And he shoots Nakatomi in the face. He shoots Ellis. I mean, you know, he's interesting. He's suave. He's reading Newsweek and giving names to the cops that he's just making up. I mean, you know, he's interesting.
Now, gotcha. The question before you let Earl go, the expert of Christmas everywhere, is Die Hard a Christmas film?
Well, you know how I am. I say, yes, Christmas. Die Hard is a Christmas film, but I also say Lethal Weapon is a Christmas film.
All right. I don't on those. It's preposterous, but that's okay. I don't know how that ever got started. All right, 855-839-1210. You get in. Got some people. The lunch thing always gets people going. I'm coming to you next. Imagine NJ.com, many of these school districts saying, now we're not taking cash.
You blew it.
You know, that's one of the first times I saw Dan Starr arrive. Dan, truly it was, because
I got to say, by the lapels and shake them like hell.
You tapped into stuff from that Cherry Hill school board, and Dan Cerucci was some of it. But when they were arguing over what kind of sandwich does a kid get if they're behind on their lunch money, we're going to see that again.
Fiasco.
But they really pulled out like the tuna sandwiches and carrots, and they put it in front of the board members and all the board members. You could see their faces just sink. Like,
oh my God,
this is what we're eating. Yeah.
Are we doing that? Look, you know what the rule is. I think don't blame the kid. The kid's got to be served lunch, and I think everybody is on board with that. But many of these parents, you got to put more pressure on them. Let's go to Lindsay and Saturn. Lindsay, a good school district in my money, but maybe we'll see, Lindsay. What do you have today? Hi, Lindsay.
Hey, Dom. How you doing? I talked to you a couple times over the years during COVID lockdowns and such. So Satterton uses my school bus, and they phased it out kind of gradually, and then it really sped up during COVID. But we have 4 kids now at 2 schools, but previously at 3 schools in Satterton, and we had to pay a transaction fee for each individual building. So not only, you know, you can't afford to deposit $100 or $200 at the beginning of the school year and just pay the fee one time. So you put it in a little at a time. But every school they were at, elementary, middle, and high school, when we had them over the span of 3 different buildings, we had to pay a fee for each one. And now they started last year. that you can't even buy a ticket for the high school football game in person. You have to buy it in advance online, and they charge you like a 60-cent fee every Friday when you go to buy a ticket for the ball game.
No, and they won't take cash. There's no way to deal with this.
Will not take cash. And the kids are complaining about it. The parents are complaining about it. I mean, they obviously all those fees goes to the vendor. It doesn't go to the school.
Yeah, no, it's not right. And it's not right because it is a junk fee. But also, this idea of removing cash, I think, sends a bad lesson to kids. I had this with one of my sons who doesn't carry cash. Dan is reluctant to do it. Cash is always king. Wait, what are you going to be out there? Hey, I got plastic here. Get out of here. I want cash.
And we've had this conversation with our kids. Like, you have to learn how to make change. And I know it holds up the line. I hear Dan's point, but it's important. It's an important life skill for them to learn how to calculate what they're buying, how much going to cost, how, you know, elementary school, they're little. It's a flat fee. But a lot of times in middle school and high school, it's a la carte. And if you want an extra item, you pay a little extra money. And so there's no concept of what they're paying for and how much it costs, because it's just you punch in your number and your parents pay for it.
Yeah, well, I think that Saturday, and surprising to me, Lindsay, because during COVID, we thought Saturday did a great job. So I just don't know why.
They really did.
Yeah, why they would adapt this type of policy. If they're listening, they can tell us.
Yeah, hopefully they will.
Well, that's what we hope. Thank you, Lindsay. Dan, this is one of the favorite talk radio, the lunch stuff, particularly those that don't pay and can pay. But the idea that fewer and fewer, well, down the shore, too, we played at this miniature golf thing, as I told you, they would not accept plastic. You had to pay cash. So what are you going to do? You can't play miniature golf. Oh, well. I mean, but if you're out on the road, you're stuck. Hey, I'll give you 20. You know, there's all kinds of circumstances where you need a little bit of cash to kind of to get you by, right?
You bring cash on the beach?
Ro does.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ro's in charge of that type of thing. I don't know what I've been using it on the beach for. Hey, lifeguard over here. I want you to get...
Well, I mean, if you're in Ocean City for, like, Boardwalk and...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times those stores, I don't know if they are anymore, they were cash only. And it's like, well, I don't want to have cash get all wet and sandy.
Yeah, we're seeing, though,
Do you bring it in the water with you, or do you leave it at the, you know?
We bring the water, yeah. And I would say this, though, too. I hate paying that 3% fee if you use a credit card or debit. I know they have to absorb it otherwise. But how about your school district, 855-839? Imagine what she said, three school buildings and all that. That could add up to $30, $40, $50 a month. For what? For this school bucks lunch outfit. Lazy school boards again. Well, we don't want to hold up the line. Really? Time to your Dano show. Dr. Marty popping up. I know how busy he is. Our guy making a house call, Dr. Marty McCary, his brand new book, Blind Spots, When Medicine Gets It Wrong, What It Means for Our Health. You can order right now. It's out on September 17th. We'll get him back the day the book's out to remind you of that. Anywhere that you can find books, and you know throughout COVID, he was our shining light. And one of the major things we wanted to talk about was chronic disease, the RFK Jr. angle on that, and what Marty thinks about that, in addition to his book. Dr. Marty McCary from Johns Hopkins, back with us on Talk Radio 1210. Dr. Marty, congratulations on the book. And you talked about this over the last couple of years. I'm sure Dr. Fauci probably figures pretty prominently in this.
Well, I don't think he's going to be sending me a Christmas card this year, but I actually didn't talk that much about COVID in this new book. I'm really excited about the book, but it really explains how what we saw during COVID was a snapshot into a broader medical establishment that has botched the food pyramid, health and nutrition, how to prevent allergies, rising cancer rates, increased rates of autism, and of course, as you're hearing about from RFK, the childhood obesity and diabetes epidemic, which is really pretty bad.
So, Marty, I'm in the camp. Look, I like RFK, what he's saying in general. I'm buying into that. Does it go a bit too far, though? Do I seem pedestrian if I say, you know what, some of it appears to me, kids are not running around, you probably did it, I did it, you played 8 hours a day. Isn't that the causal element, or do you go into in the book, to RFK's point, the specific things that are being put in food? What's the critical thing, and what can parents do to avoid it?
Well, it's a combination of things. Kids are more sedentary. You know, children were never designed by God to sit sedentary for 7 hours a day in a classroom and to have their circadian rhythm messed up with fluorescent lights all day long. What we've done to kids is tragic. And then the medical profession says, oh, they have attention deficit disorder. They can't sit still for 7 hours. Or they have, my favorite diagnosis is oppositional defiant disorder. In other words, a kid disagrees with an adult. We've got a medical diagnosis. And we've got the most medicated generation of kids in history. We can't keep going down this path. 40% of kids will have a mental health diagnosis by the time they turn 18 years of old. So we do have a combination of too much screen time, too much sedentary behavior. You're right, Dom. But the food supply is poisoned. It has been poisoned by big food and big ad, which has been lying to us for years, telling us there's no damage to ultra-processed foods, food additives, pesticides in foods, seed oils, microplastics, toxins, you name it. The food supply is poisoned. Just look at Japan. Only 3% of their kids are overweight or obese. We're at 50%. So we've got to take a look at the food supply and start talking about school lunch programs, not just putting every kid on Ozempic, as pharma would like us to do.
Well, you know what, but Marty, that's another book for you, too. Isn't that the newest wrinkle to this? We got you into this situation. Now we're going to get you out with another drug. It's one of the biggest of all time, is it not?
We're watching all of our chronic diseases go up, and the medical establishment, which has been captured by pharma, only really has research to support new drugs. So no one is talking about the root causes. Why have sperm counts gone down by 50% in the last five decades? Why is puberty in the United States earlier than any other country in the world, years before other countries? Why is it that autism rates have gone up 14% each year for the last 23 years?
Can you stop on that Marty, with autism, because it's such a trigger. I thought one of the reasons was we're better at diagnosing it, or we have the spectrum in doing it. But in your book, what do you say is another root cause of the autism rates?
So we are altering the microbiome, the lining of the GI tract that normally has millions of different bacteria that are living in a balance, that train the immune system. Some of those bacteria make serotonin, which is involved in mood and brain health. And we don't know the exact cause of autism, but we are doing all these things to alter the body's physiology with foreign substances. People are ingesting now 10 to 40% of their calories are things that do not occur in nature. They're foreign substances, they're chemicals. And what's happening is the body is reacting and the microbiome is changing inside the gut. And the rise in colon cancer we're seeing in young people, people under 50, a recent study found it was more common in people who had a C-section delivery. We know C-section deliveries change the microbiome. Antibiotics that are unnecessary change the microbiome. So people need good instruction. They need to know the truth about health. We don't want to create cynicism or hysteria, but there's a balance, and people, a bunch of doctors and I are going directly to the American people to educate them about health, because C-sections and antibiotics save lives, but they're also massively overused. So people need to know the truth.
That is a tremendous example. So would you ever consider, because RFK, if Trump wins, appears to be, will have a key role inside these outfits that really need a shakeup. Would you ever consider serving Dr. Marty?
I'm really interested in doing what I'm doing now, which is using my platforms to educate the public. And, you know, this book is coming out next week. It's just available for pre-order now. So I'm really focused on that book right now to try to educate the people about the biggest topics in medicine we're not talking about that we need to be talking about, what I call the blind spots.
And this goes back to the original conversations we had right from the very beginning with COVID. You were onto it, then developed research on this. Those that had the worst outcomes had the chronic disease situation that's avoidable. The connection to that, we talked about sugar things of that nature, and things that you don't even think about. Do you lay out, or is it more alerting people, say with parents, though, what would you say a parent listening now, concerned about their kids at whatever age, can do to avoid some of the worst stuff that's out there?
Well, I don't think people, especially parents, realize just how processed our food supply is. You know, we grew up with white bread, Wonder Bread. Turns out it's so highly processed, it's functioning like added sugar. We've stripped the fiber in flour, and we've chopped up this flour into such tiny pieces, it's functioning like sugar. And so we're seeing high insulin levels, pre-diabetes, at rates we've never seen before. Look at the ingredients. Try to avoid these seed oils because they're not natural, as the name suggests. The seed oils have unnatural, chemically denatured byproducts. And try to avoid the added sugar. Basically, let's get back to the biblical principles of health. Whole foods, clean meats, meditation, and communities. And there's tremendous benefits in getting back to the basics of a non-processed lifestyle.
Absolutely. Dr. Marty, thrilled for you. I mean, this has been the golden part of COVID, was getting to know you, have you on over the years. So hopefully, Dan, we'll talk with your person and we'll get you on the day the book comes out to remind people blind spots when medicine gets it wrong, what it means for our health.
Thanks so much, Tom, and good luck to your Eagles tomorrow. And if you cheer for my Ravens tonight, I'm supporting your Eagles tomorrow.
Okay, you got it. We will do that, Dr. Marty. All right. Take care, Dr. Marty McCary with the home team down there. All right, so he's a real find. Right in the middle of COVID, we started to hear him, get him on big time. I commend the book to you and the stuff that he's been saying. The RFK Jr. thing with chronic disease is real. There's no doubt about it. What is the way to deal with that, though? That's what we're going to continue to tease out. By the way, the hunt to get RFK Jr. on is well underway. You should know that. We don't give up on this. We probably have made 500 phone calls over the course of time and texts and everything else, but we're trying.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.